as he keeps.
This is Prophecy Keepers Radio, coming to you worldwide on the internet. Visit prophecykeepers.com today.
Well, hello, everybody. This is your old friend Blue Otter coming to you from the tops of the Rocky Mountains. And this is Prophecy Keepers Radio for the 25th of October, 2008. And before I introduce our guest, I'd like to tell you a little bit about who we are. I want to let you know we are struggling. This may be our last show unless we get some help. We're not part of anybody's budget. We rely solely on you. Creator has shown our seers that we need $500,000 for travel expenses for the elders to gather and revive the dance of welcome, exactly as taught by Wovoka, not as Sitting Bull's altered version of the dance of welcome, which was called the Ghost Dance, which was altered to pray for the death of all whites and which ended in the massacre at Wounded Knee. So please donate now and help us literally save our planet. The mission of the White Roots of Peace Council through Prophecy Keepers Foundation is to fulfill the wishes of the Hopi, Cherokee, and the Iroquois elders of the 1950s and 60s in sending their prophetic messages around the world to establish peace through the worldwide realization of our ancient common goal of relatedness. Our guest this evening is Medicine Sky Woman. Medicine Sky Woman is the founder of the Angel to Angel Network. Their mission is to provide assistance to runaways, battered, abused, and exploited teens in the areas of counseling, shelter, food, education, and medical assistance, with the emphasis on Native American teens. Where possible, they assist teens in their complete rehabilitation into a loving family environment and society at large. Angel to Angel Network is also programmed to assist youths ages 13 to 23 with live, online, or offline support counseling. And this communication tool allows them to let youth know that they're not alone if they're having problems with violence, sexual abuse, drugs and alcohol, depression, school problems, suicidal tendencies, teen pregnancy, ADD, defiance, or other behavior problems. Angel to Angel Network is funded by individuals, corporations, and members, and monies are also raised through various events. Medicine Sky Woman is the founder. Her Anglo first name is Loretta. And how do you pronounce your, welcome to the show, how do you pronounce your Anglo, well, I guess it's actually Hispanic last name?
It's Mejia.
Mejia, that's what I thought, but I didn't want to butcher it because, anyway. Welcome to the show. Medicine Sky Woman faced incest as a child, and along with many of other of life's hurts, addictions, and tragedies. She's the great-great-great-granddaughter of the great Apache chief, Victorio, who fought alongside Goyatle. And tell us a little bit about who you are, where you live, what you do, what's your mission.
Oh, well, first of all, it's an honor to be on your show. I'm from the Southwest, and right now we're located in Albuquerque, New Mexico. But we started out in Kansas, and that was back in May of 2003, and we are now have grown since, and I have been pretty much called back to come back to the Southwest and come back home and get back into helping out our people and help out all Red Spirits. So that was pretty much my vision and my dream to do. And so I'm here in New Mexico now, and but we have had a long road to get us there. And so a lot of learning experiences, but our programs are...
Sorry, go ahead. When I hear learning experiences, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. just it's been a long road, but like I say, we've kind of had a pretty good growing experience the last 5 years. We've already passed our 5-year mark. So all the people out there that said that you know, that we wouldn't make it, well, we have, and we have a lot yet to do. So but right now our mission is pretty much working with the local tribes. We work with also tribes all over the world, so that's how we started out. It was a mission to reach out online to youth that just basically that were all over the globe. So we had a really good success rate in the beginning, and then it just escalated from that, and it just started focusing more on the local tribes, and so now pretty much it's a lot the Four Corners area that, but we still have programs, some of our programs like our horse program, that kind of reaches out to really anywhere that we can get. So we have a horse trainer that actually takes our demonstrations on the road and will do them anywhere. So it's, so we go to the reservations or we go just anywhere anybody invites us to go, and we're happy to display our own introducing the programs through our demonstrations with breaking of the horses and stuff. And it's a really neat experience to kind of watch that happen, bringing horse and man together with that. And you know, and as a red spirit, we can identify with that, broken spirit that the horse, you know, carries. And so it's a really neat demonstration, and we've seen lives changed with that, and watched the teens kind of open up. It's part of our cultural recovery program. So a lot of our programs are designed to help everyone out, but you know, our emphasis are on Native youth, and because that is really, these kids need us, you know, and it's kind of been my personal calling because of the things that I've, you know, been through, and a lot that if anybody goes to our website, they can actually, you know, read a little bit more about me and what I've experienced. And but I mean, I was a runaway myself, so but you know, I left home for a lot of the same reasons these kids, you know, that we work with today, what they go through, and whether it has to do with alcoholism, drugs, or it has to do with incest or sexual abuse or anything like that. And it's, you know, these are some of the things that I've experienced, and I had to get out of that situation. So, and looking for a way out, and thinking of suicide as the way out, and, you know, finding out that it wasn't. So, while I was out on the streets and I was, pretty much going back and forth, on the reservations, you know, from Rio Doso there at Mescalero to, down to Albuquerque there to Isleta to back to El Paso, and just, you know, pretty much, hitchhiked and just on living on the streets, living any way I can, and trying to survive. So I just thank Creator that I didn't get into certain acts that, you know, that I shouldn't have, but unfortunately I did see a lot, and I steered away from a lot of other things as well. But I made a promise to Creator that I would, you know, if I made it off the streets, that I would give back and do whatever I could, and that was my mission in life. And since I made it, it was kind of after going through, you know, bad marriage and just realizing that my spirit was totally broken. I wasn't happy with who I was, where I came from. I wanted to be like other white girls because it seemed like they, you know, pretty much, you know, got treated better. And, you know, and so just kind of with all this brokenness and just kind of taking it all back with the, with, and remembering what it was like growing up and, trying to get people to help me and, trying to speak up and then being told that, that you're lying or you brought it onto yourself and, you know, going through situations like that, it just, or being in a marriage that, you know, being very disrespectful, by, you know, being dishonored, and growing up in a culture though that you know that you're very well respected and that the women are very well respected. And, so to be pulled out of that and then realize that, you know, you're not being treated a certain way, but also growing up in a household where you saw things happen with your parents and that respect was being dishonored there. So taking all this and then with my own experiences, it kind of made me turn around and say, you know what, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to finally follow through with that promise that I made to Creator. And I did. And it took me to get broken down to the point where I just said no more. And I think it had to do a lot, too, with my health. And I've shared with you, Luwater, a little bit about my health and some of the things that I had gone through and with the cancer and everything. And I think just facing a lot of life's tragedies, I guess, you kind of put in a perspective of what you need to do, you know, and you just kind of just have to take charge and say, you know, I'm going to do something now, and you just do it. And it just kind of created, you know, just people around me that said, you know, go after this, do this, you know, and I did, and it just, I really thought it was just going to be something that I was going to reach out to online, and then it turned into support groups, and it just kind of grew from there, and, you know, so it's been a real blessing.
Kind of like Topsy.
Yes.
It sounds like you went through, I don't know if I ever told you this, but I have a degree in youth agency administration, and I worked for the Boy Scouts as an executive for 3 years, and then after that, my wife, who passed away from cancer, and her mom passed away also at an early age, my wife had a degree in child development and family relationships, and well, we're looking in the newspaper one day, and Father Flanagan's Boys Town, a famous Boys Town in Nebraska, was hiring, and so we went to work for Boys Town, and it sounds like you went through, well, you know, anybody that's over maybe 40 or 50 has seen that old Mickey Rooney movie about Boys Town.
Yes.
And, you know, Father Flanagan went through a lot, but my gosh, if anybody's gone through Omaha, you know, out west of town, you can't miss Boys Town. It's, I mean, they've got their own zip code there, and a tremendous amount was done and can be done. But, yeah, sounds like you've been dragged through all those experiences.
Yeah, but you know what, it's you know, I've come to realize that I don't regret anything that I've been through. You know, yeah, I would like to have, you know, maybe have some things, seen things differently. But, you know, everything I've been through, you know, I believe that, that Creator, you know, took me through those things so that I could relate to our youth, you know, because my vision has been to bring back our youth, or, you know, our young red spirits, bring them back. I mean, this is what my grandfathers believed, you know, and, you know, and it's like to bring that back and, you know, and to rebuild them. These are the throwaway kids. You know, I was a throwaway kid. I was a kid that, you know, just said, you'll never, but you see, hear my father say this all the time, you'll never amount to anything.
Well, listen, we need to go to a break, and I understand after the break you've got a friend that's going to be calling in.
Yes. Yes, I do.
And so we're going to take a couple minutes off as soon as Don throws the switch or pushes the button. Or...
Friends, January 1st, 2010 is the deadline for turning over your personal biometric readings at a regional U.S. government facility. If you don't comply with the RELATI Act, you will not be able to legally drive. Some people caught driving illegally have recently been electrically tortured before being arrested by the new police state. If you can't drive, you probably won't be able to work, purchase food, or sell. Friends, check your scriptures. This sounds like the mark of the beast described in Revelations chapter 13. SurvivalismSkills.com has helped thousands of people just like you plan for the future. At SurvivalismSkills.com, learn to convert your car to hydrogen, create a food storage program, protect yourself from cell telephone radiation, learn about intelligent water, get rid of poor health, learn Native American survival skills. Get your free Oak Ridge Labs new Clear War Survival Skills book download now at SurvivalismSkills.com. That's SurvivalismSkills.com.
Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper, oh yeah. Look inside the rainbow, look inside.
Friends, January 1st, 2010 is the deadline for turning over your personal biometric readings at a regional U.S. government facility. If you don't comply with the RELATI Act, you will not be able to legally drive. Some people caught driving illegally have recently been electrically tortured before being arrested by the new police state. If you can't drive, you probably won't be able to work, purchase food, or sell. Friends, check your scriptures. This sounds like the mark of the beast described in Revelations chapter 13. SurvivalismSkills.com has helped thousands of people just like you plan for the future. At SurvivalismSkills.com, learn to convert your car to hydrogen, create a food storage program, protect yourself from cell telephone radiation, learn about intelligent water, get rid of poor health, learn Native American survival skills. Get your free Oak Ridge Labs new Clear War Survival Skills book download now at SurvivalismSkills.com. That's SurvivalismSkills.com.
Well, hi, folks. We're back after our first break. I'm going to give out the call-in numbers. We'd like... Loretta's friend Robert is standing by to call in. He's in charge of the Step It Up program. Robert, why don't you give us a call at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And that's a number for USA, and a number for USA Canada is 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. While we're waiting for his call, why don't you tell us about your about that program?
Okay, the Step It Up program is pretty much, it's a program that's, it basically we use it to help raise awareness of the suicide issues or any of the, it's kind of a introduction to our talking circles that we have, and that's our support groups. And everything is done the traditional style with in a circle. And of course, a lot of times we try to do it around campfire, but sometimes, you know, with the weather or wherever we're at and stuff, sometimes you know, maybe we're not in a location you know, that we can't, you know, be around a campfire or anything like that. But it's a place for them to get together, and this is kind of the introduction way, because we have mentors that come in and you know, spend time with the teens, or just being a good role model with them. And you know, and we try to keep up with all having all red spirits, you know, kind of just join together of from all tribes, come together. And Robert is one of the first, to really come forward to do this with our teens. But he's actually hitting a lot of the, just the communities in general, because our programs, kind of assist, the communities, because we involve the families as well. So, Robert's, he's basically like a mentor, and he's got a great message with speaking out about the health and wellness to our young ones. And it'd be nice if he called in so he could introduce himself a little better. I don't know if they've got him on the line yet or if he's able to.
Yeah, we'd hear a beep. I guess, did he tell you how he was going to listen, or?
You know, he said he was going to listen, and he was going to listen in and try to.
Yeah, because I give the directions on how to get here at prophecykeepers.com. Oh, we don't miss him. But
yeah.
And while we're waiting, I'd like to give out the sort of let folks to go to your website. It's www.angel2angelnetwork.org. angelnetwork.org. And so tell us some more.
Yes. Well, right now we're looking, actually we've been looking at property, and we have property in mind, and our website is actually going through a whole new look right now. So it's going to get a whole new makeover, and it's, you know, it'll have all our programs will be listed up there. And it'll have the Step It Up program. It'll have a little, so that, you know, everybody can kind of see with what we're doing with that, how we're having, events and activities that involve, the teens and their families, and, interaction with Robert and with myself and with other mentors that come in and everything. But we have that going, and then we have our, and it's also an introduction to have people to, see what kind of other programs that we have and what kind of help that we do need, because funding, you know, as well as you know, is like funding is always needed, and in order to keep these programs going, and even with our talking circles, the funding is needed. It's, so this is basically underneath that Step It Up program. It's kind of the umbrella of everything.
There's,
so.
Is that Robert?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? Glad you made it.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, doing pretty good. Be sure and speak up. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name's Robert Dean. I'm Oglala Lakota. I am, what can I say? I'm a competitive bodybuilder who got involved with the Step It Up program and attempts to reach out to the youth and try to show them a more positive image as far as health and wellness is concerned with the Native community. And so I've been working with that, trying to connect more with a lot of the youth, you know, growing up in rural or urban areas, trying to be more of a positive influence for a lot of them that, you know, are struggling with things, you know, whether it be alcohol or other serious health issues that affect a lot of the Native people and their families.
We're honored to have you. The last Oglala Sioux Tribe member we had on, I guess we interviewed a couple times, was Ed McGaugh.
Mm-hmm.
And he's written several books on Lakota spirituality. And I was just on Russell Means' website. He's running for Oglala Sioux Tribe president and going through the usual political BS. But anyway, didn't mean to interrupt. I want to welcome you, though.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So tell us a little bit more about what you do.
Well, I've been doing what I do for a very long time. I've been in health and fitness industry since I was really young, and so what I do is basically it's something I've always done, just from the way I grew up. Was there was a lot of alcoholism and diabetes and a lot of serious health issues that have affected my family. And so growing up for me was quite a struggle and a lot of confusion as far as how these things affected my family, my relatives around me. And I got into things at a young age and out of habit, just kind of stuck with them. And as I got older, I realized a lot of things that were going on around me were pretty much destroying my relatives, a lot of friends. And so I wasn't really, my story is I'm not someone who got caught up in that. I'm not an ex-alcoholic or a drug user. I've always, from a young age, knew that this was all very bad for me, and yet I saw it destroy everyone around me. What I always did was I stayed away from it and lived a healthy lifestyle.
Do you attribute, I've always liked the philosophy. I heard someone say that some of the Lakota traditionals believe now that the first mistake that they made was making decisions without their horses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Going to go to a break, and we'll be back in a minute, and we'll talk a little bit more about making decisions with horses.
Echoes of another time, let the wind blow, let the truth be known to all mankind again.
Friends, January 1st, 2010 is the deadline for turning over your personal biometric readings at a regional U.S. government facility. If you don't comply with the REAL ID Act, you will not be able to legally drive. Some people caught driving illegally have recently been electrically tortured before being arrested by the new police state. If you can't drive, you probably won't be able to work, purchase food, or sell. Friends, check your scriptures. This sounds like the mark of the beast described in Revelations chapter 13. SurvivalismSkills.com has helped thousands of people just like you plan for the future. At SurvivalismSkills.com, learn to convert your car to hydrogen, create a food storage program, protect yourself from cell telephone radiation, learn about intelligent water, get rid of poor health, learn Native American survival skills. Get your free Oak Ridge Labs Nuclear War Survival Skills book. Download now at SurvivalismSkills.com. That's SurvivalismSkills.com.
And we're back. We're talking with Robert about making decisions with horses. And so, Robert, do you attribute? Did you get involved with the more traditional element? Is that how you stayed away? How did you manage to stay away from bad influences?
Oh, Well, combination of things. I think a lot of it was, one of it basically was just by experiencing everything that was going on around me and seeing how it was affecting everyone around me was one of the primary things. And then just staying true to my own beliefs, you know, my own traditional beliefs, and not falling into, peer pressure or into what everybody else was doing, because it was, you know, I wasn't influenced by a lot of these things, as everybody seemed to be. I from an early stage, I found it to be very destructive. And so I tended to veer away from it, you know.
And, wow, kind of a miracle. And how old are you, but you don't mind me asking?
I am 33.
That's interesting. I kind of, the first thing that comes to mind is if you might have been 10 or 20 years older, you might not have been as lucky. I think the years that, I think Loretta's about the same age bracket as I am, in her 50s. Is that correct, Loretta? Well, that's okay. No, you're 39. Yeah, you told me. Anyway, I think in those ensuing years, I think people were waking up to about peer pressure, and there were those forces that, kind of were steering kids away. But in those 60s and 70s, they could be pretty rough years to grow up in, and it was pretty easy to get lost, especially, now I'm not speaking from experience, but I understand that, you know, it was, you know, growing up on a reservation is not fun.
Mm-mm.
But what do you think, Laura? Do you think things have gotten better? You think the era that Robert grew up in might have been a little more advantageous? Do you think things are getting better for kids?
Actually, I'm not that much older than Robert, but that's okay.
Oh,
but,
okay.
but anyhow, no, you
plausible
know what?
Plausible deniability, okay.
Well, actually, you know what? It's actually gotten worse, I think. I think kids nowadays, especially on the reservations, and even off the reservations, are dealing with a lot more peer pressure now. And it is getting worse. And,
oh, my gosh.
You know, it is bad right now. And so, but this is what's great. This is what I've always loved about Robert's, just Robert's own message and everything, is because he didn't have these, he wasn't influenced by these, things around him, that he's got that story that he can actually connect with these kids and show them that, you know, that they have choices. You know, that it's about choice. And so a lot of our programs, you know, that's where we steer these kids to find their voice and use it. And, you know, we are their voices right now. So we have to step it up to be able to help them find their voices. And, you know, so it's like with Robert, he's got that image that, where they look at him and they're like, wow, you know, that could be me. You know, and it's very inspiring to hear these kids and then to hear their families talk about these things, about how, you know, to come back and say, wow, you know what, I saw a change in my kid. You know, and we're dealing with kids that, you know, now it's like, you know, they're talking about, you know, they don't even want to be associated with the tribes or anything anymore. And it's really sad, you know, to see that. And, you know, and then where else I have the story of, you know, going through things, and, you know, and it's just, you know, it's that mixed, you know, they get to see all views, you know,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, here's somebody that comes out of a bad situation and turning it around as well, you know, and it's about choice. It's about empowering choice with these kids. So, but I do see that, that the kids nowadays, though, are really going through a lot more. I mean, when you think of what's happening within the next 24 hours, you know, you go through those statistics and those things that come back at you. You know, when I get a call the alerts start coming in on the emails, and I, you know, we have a staff of 12 that are all volunteer staff, and you know, and they're working the online stuff, and they're you know, finding out things. I'm constantly getting in with emails and or getting phone calls, messages of saying, you know, we have somebody that ran away, you know, nearby reservation or nearby area, you know. So it's kind of, you have all kinds of problems going on nowadays, and peer pressure is really bad.
The thing that occurred to me was, as our nation gets richer, you know, even Indian kids are you know, getting a little bit richer. I think with easier access to money, you've got more access to drugs. The internet, I was looking at a website earlier today that here in central Utah, there's a place called Oxbow Academy, and they kind of specialize in sexual addiction among teenagers. And of course, Oprah said, you know, don't let that kid have that internet in his room. You know, have it where you can watch it. But what do you think about that theory? That we got a little bit more money and the things are more readily available and access to the internet and as far as corrupting kids' minds?
It's everywhere. It's on TV. I mean, you turn on the TV and, you know, and there's stuff there, but it's in the schools. It's everywhere, you know. It's really everywhere. I mean, this is why we need programs, though, to actually get these kids involved, you know, with programs that are going to be get them away from all these other, you know, things that are happening around them, you know. They need to be involved with things, you know, and like with our programs, there's no pressure. I mean, we actually had requests to have more nights a week because we started out with just one night a week, and then it, you know, went up to two nights a week. And then it went up to three nights a week because these kids just kept wanting to come back and draw into this stuff. But now we also have a program, too, that we've adopted, and it was with the Eldersgate, you know. You know that. You're very familiar with that. But the elders are, you know, to be bringing the elders in to start, you know, working with our teens and stuff. So this is something that is just, it's going to work, and it does work, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, we all need each other, you know.
Let me tell folks a little bit about Eldersgate. My friend Ben Yosef, who works with the Membrano Apache over in Walsenburg, with the last nickels that he had, he inherited some money from his dad, and wasn't a whole lot, but he was able to swing the purchase of an old HUD repo, and he used whatever funds he could to try to fix it up. It was from the sound of it, it kind of sounds like Rolling Thunder's old house. Rolling Thunder lived in Carlin, Nevada. He bought an old brothel, had a whole bunch of bedrooms, and they're small bedrooms. And so the idea is the movement. You know, it's kind of a, you know, a native version of, you know, Ronald McDonald. Only it's elders that you're bringing in and to be near the kids at kind of a mobile hospital so they can have, you know, a speaker's bureau or teaching bureau or whatever. And it's a place for elders to land when they get to a place where they can support movements like yours.
Yes, and it's great. It's a great interaction because it's, what we have it planned is that when we have people coming in from, you know, the southwest regions and stuff, flying into Albuquerque, we'll pick them up, and then they'll come in and spend time with the teams for a few days, and then we'll take them up to Colorado there, and then just depending on how long they're going to stay there, you know, that'll be decided. But they get to get mentored with the elders, so. This is very vital to our youth, our native youth. So it's very much needed. So our programs are, you know, they're growing, you know, and that's why the need with the property that we're seeking. And we're going to have all that information up on the website and pictures of it and stuff. But we're right now trying to raise funds for all this. But so it's it's been our, we're campaigning right now. We just started one today, actually. And so it's going to go on for 3 weeks. And I'm sure it's going to go on beyond that. But we are campaigning to raise funds for this ranch that, you know, they're asking $2.5 million. People are telling me I'm crazy that, you know, you guys are not going to raise that much money for this. But you know what? Creator is bigger and he can do anything. So.
Mm-hmm. Don't ever tell her others. You know, this is something she can't do, right?
That's right. You know, you challenge me, I'll just prove you wrong. So.
Well, hey, listen, we're going to go to our last break. And when we come back, I want to ask you about what kind of media coverage, if you're getting any other media coverage or how things are working out. And so let's go to a break. And
let the truth be known to all mankind. Teach us what you can, 'cause there's a mighty dark cloud hanging overhead. Oh yeah, hanging overhead. Let the truth
Friends, January 1st, 2010 is the deadline for turning over your personal biometric readings at a regional U.S. government facility. If you don't comply with the RELIDI Act, you will not be able to legally drive. Some people caught driving illegally have recently been electrically tortured before being arrested by the new police state. If you can't drive, you probably won't be able to work, purchase food, or sell. Friends, check your scriptures. This sounds like the mark of the beast described in Revelations chapter 13. SurvivalismSkills.com has helped thousands of people just like you plan for the future. At SurvivalismSkills.com, learn to convert your car to hydrogen, create a food storage program, protect yourself from cell telephone radiation, learn about intelligent water, get rid of poor health, learn Native American survival skills. Get your free Oak Ridge Labs new Clear War Survival Skills book download now at SurvivalismSkills.com. That's SurvivalismSkills.com.
Well, we're back with Medicine Sky Woman and her friend Robert. So, yeah, what kind of, have you had any luck with, how are you raising your money? Are you getting any media attention? Or
you know what, I'm just back into, because of my health, and I'm still recovering, but I just went through a battle of a little over a year with cancer, so, but it's in remission as of September 20th, but I'm still recovering. I still have some problems, some issues that came along with that that I'm recovering from, but so I am just now getting back into getting our funding where it needs to be, so this has actually been my first week back at it again, so you know, since my health has been down, and I still have to be really careful, but, you know, I'm just really motivated and excited to start getting some things back on track again. We had somebody sabotage some things.
I was reading that.
Yes, yes. We had somebody that that used to do work for us that we trusted very much, somebody I had known, you know, since middle school, so...
Yeah.
It was a bad situation, and that they were embezzling money, and it actually shut down some programs. We were funding a small Indian group home, and it just that program got shut down because we were basically their, you know, their support system monthly. So, but I was, since I've been gone and recovering in treatment and everything, and found out that they had closed their doors, and I had no idea because of my taking a step back, and you know, and then when I started to step back into doing things again, I started to find out stuff, what it was really happening. So now this is really my first week back at things, and we're hoping to get the just letting people know that we need help. I have a small budget, which our budget can grow, but is the way it's growing right now and is being reported with all the groups that are just starting up everywhere. It takes time to train people. Everybody, you have to be certified. We go through all kinds of stuff in order to set up our support groups. So this stuff costs money to keep the programs going, especially with working on the reservations and just kind of reaching out. It takes time, gas, everything like that to reach out. But our materials that we use to everything. So I mean, there's a lot put into it. So our programs are really in need, and I won't give up even when the funding is not there. And right now, it's not there. We are all just really relying on Creator right now to come through for us. So we're really looking for people to really put their hearts into it and just really do something for our youth, because our youth are our future. And these, these young red spirits, they are coming back, and we are turning them around from being rebels to turning into mighty, mighty proud warriors. So these are our future, and so we have to take care of them. And so I'm just, really out asking everybody to please, pray and ask Creator what they would like them to do to help support our programs. We took that hit with things, and when everything went under investigation, and then as the charges were brought on to this person, and as now it's going through the courts right now, but it hit us hard. It hit us hard, and it messed up all our programs, especially the Step It Up program, and that's the vital one there, because that helps us support, like Elders Gate. We're basically going to be taking on them, like, to help them out with their needs, because they're a vital part of our programs with these youth. So it's kind of like, so right now I'm just really asking everybody to see, the Angel to Angel Network needs a home. We need a foundation of a place where a ranch where we can do our horse programs there, have these kids come in, work with the horses, learn to trust again. We take abused horses in, and they're able to work with the horses, learn trust, learn to just connect again. And it's an amazing process to see this happen with these kids and to watch them rebuild their characters, and then having mentors like Robert come in and work with these teams, and then taking them and just kind of guiding them, and then having the elders do the same. So and then them really learning about themselves, about their culture, and inviting others in from. So that's another thing. If anybody that would like to volunteer time to come and share a little bit about their culture with these kids. It's all about
Absolutely. Interacting.
That
was the vision of the White Roots Peace Council began in the 50s and 60s, and the original idea was for it to be kind of a Native American traveling college. I think I know elders that would travel if they had the opportunity. And I had a startling vision back in May of 2006. It was totally unexpected. I saw, you guys have been at Times Square and you see the moving text along the side of the buildings. Well, that's what I saw, only it was red, it was like red LED text, and it just said that we were to seek a grant of $500,000 for travel expenses for the elders to literally save the planet, .. more information to follow. So this is really important, folks. That was, other than, the voice that I heard back in 98 that told me that the weather was going to be a year of weather havoc in 2005, which came true in spades, that Creator gave me. This, We've just kind of, it's kind of interesting, you know, I received that vision and then fell in with Ben Yosef, and then we were through our mutual friend Jay Lone Wolf, we were introduced to you, and Creator is just kind of cobbling this thing together.
Yes.
Of course, it doesn't never happen soon enough, and there is, there's tremendous opposition to this thing. We need, we really need prayers. Jay Lone Wolf and his family need prayers,
yes,
on this issue, and, hey, no, we don't want to forget about Robert. We've got about 3 minutes left, Robert. You got anything to add?
Oh, just that, keep in mind with the Step It Up program, this is something that it's not only, it's directed towards the youth, of course, but it has impacted the elders as well, the parents of these kids, the families of these kids as well, as Loretta can tell you, that have written her the letters and the feedback she's been getting from all this, which I never thought it would have this sort of impact. You know, I do what I do. I don't talk about it a lot. I just do it. And this is something I've always kind of lived by. So I'm honored, and the message I have is the same story a lot of these kids have, you know, the same as me. And they're trying to figure out how to deal with things. So the mere fact that it's also touching the...
Outstanding. You know, I've got a friend up in Durango. He was... name's Joe. I'm trying to remember his last name. He's an Oglala Lakota too, and he's through a family connection. He's Ben Campbell's cousin, but he was kind of the last of the horsehair hitchers. He was the very last brand inspector, and I'm trying to remember. I met him in Moab. He was homeless. He'd gone over there and gotten a job with a rancher. The rancher went bust, and guy was just about homeless and used to eat with us two or three nights a week. And he's not too far from you. He'd be an excellent elder. But anyway, folks, Loretta, like we're all done, and we want to thank everybody for listening.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Wind blow, let the truth be.
Blue Otter, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.